Yep.
Hey, good morning. It's just after 10:30. This is the North Dakota Public Service Commission. We're here in the North Dakota Public Service Commission hearing room, 12th floor of the state capitol. It is Tuesday, July 5th, 2011. As I said, just after 10:30. We're here for a work session in case number PU-09-670, Minn Kota's, it's the Minn Kota 345 KV transmission line. The issue that we're dealing with specifically is how to relate or how to deal with late filed exhibit number one and potential request for stipulation to close the hearing. This was a outstanding issue from our hearings last or the week before last, and the attorneys were going to get together and come up with a course of recommendation and recommended course of action. And so we have those folks here at the table today. For the record, or anyone else who might be listening in, this is Tony Clark. I'm joined by my fellow commissioners, Kevin Kramer and Brian Kalk. We have staff at the table as well, Jerry Lean, who's our staff member assigned to this case, and Matt Svagsveen, who is our assistant AG who's been working it for us. So with that, we'll turn it over to Matt.
Thank you. As my memorandum indicates, last week I met with counsel for Minn Kota, Molly Smith, and Administrative Law Judge Al Wall for the purposes of continuing the above-referenced hearing. It's PU-09-670. And counsel for Minn Kota submitted an affidavit identified as Minn Kota's late-filed Exhibit 1, which is an affidavit signed by Mr. Terry Fastine, who I believe testified at all three hearings for the purposes of this siting project, for the purposes of this corridor. And Minn Kota requested that the affidavit be admitted into the record as a late file exhibit, and I had no objections. So if I can draw your attention to the exhibit, this affidavit was in direct response to, I believe, Commissioner Clark's request for a proposal that might identify some possible adjustments to be made in probably, I would just describe it as three locations. They're in three maps. So if you look at Exhibit 12A1, 12C1, and 12D1, you'll notice that the proposed corridor has been expanded. And starting with 12A1, from the center 345 KV substation roughly to Highway 25, there is a southern expansion on that proposed corridor. And in 12C1, in the middle of the map, starting with, the name of the road is Center Avenue, just to the east of Center Avenue to Highway 14 and all the way to the eastern edge of the map, the corridor is expanded. And I apologize, but I didn't request that any widths of expansion be identified. That doesn't necessarily seem to be an issue at this point, but in map Exhibit 12D1, starting from the western edge of the map all the way over to the Wells County WMA, the corridor is also expanded. And for the record, I've spoken with Ms. Smith about how to treat this affidavit and the late filed exhibit, and this is not a request to amend the application. Rather, it is a submission by Minn Kota that Minn Kota agrees that the proposed corridor, or that Minn Kota does not object to the PSC designating as the corridor for the center to Grand Forks line the corridor as depicted in the maps 12A1, 12B, 12C1, 12D1, 12E, 12F, 12G, 12H, 12I, and 12J. So that's all I have. If you have any questions of me regarding this exhibit, I'd be more than happy to answer them.
My questions would be the practical application of them, just going back to specific landowner issues. Now, clearly, as I recall, the first one, the Exhibit 12A1, that widening, probably takes care of Terry Schulte's questions or concerns, is my guess. Is that
yep.
Right? She wanted to go a little further south, and it's still her land and all that. And she was willing to even agree to that if it would happen.
Correct. If I recall her testimony, is that she just wanted it moved further south so that it wasn't on her doorstep.
One thing, I mean, it's an extension of Kevin's point. The only thing that I don't like about this is that this presumes that I agree with everything else.
Oh, no.
Well, in a sense, it does, though, because they're saying, this. Okay, we heard you on these points, but then...
No, that's not... I would... Yeah, go ahead.
I was just saying, Commissioner, I'll address that to some extent after we go through
as long as we get the
three maps.
Yeah. Okay. That's why I kind of want to know which ones it does help. Because there are some, you know...
It gives them more options in these areas, but it doesn't...
In these areas, but not...
Correct.
Yeah, it doesn't presume anything, at least on my part. Okay. My other one that I was thinking about... Gosh, you know, you think you're going to remember this stuff forever when you're sitting there. But then Jerry always brings more stuff. More. Are the tops... That was another one that was seemed like... And is that addressed in Exhibit 12D, Matt?
12D?
D-1. I Gray City through maybe not.
Where were they over here?
There's Section 35 of Columbia Township. Let's see here. Maybe not.
I have to get my other pocket.
No, I should.
I can tell you just.
Kevin, do you have township range numbers for Columbia?
Okay, I'm thinking specifically of Jeff Topp, Columbia County Section 34. I don't, that's all I wrote down for him for some reason. Usually I wrote them all down.
Well, Columbia County is in, or Columbia Township is in 12F.
Okay. Okay. So that's not of these.
Not addressed.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And there was the thought in 12F was that there was the rail line, and in the middle of Pleasant Prairie, well, not in the middle, but in the southern boundary of Pleasant Prairie, some of the issue was why the line or the corridor was going to be jogged south when the, to avoid, I thought it was the testimony was maybe an uninhabited or one residence there, but there were problems presented both directions, even if you took the line straight east and then south. I think that was the testimony at the hearing. But this is the area that's north of Gray City in 12F.
Yep. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And the reason that one comes to mind, or was one that I sort of highlighted, was because once again you had a willing landowner allowing on his land if it was on the north side rather than the south side.
And to address that, I believe, and Ms. Smith can address it if you think it's necessary, one of the issues that I brought up was the Grand Forks area, and her response to that was that the specific request for the late file exhibit pertain to these three maps that were attached to Mr. Fasteen's affidavit. So to that extent, 12F was not part of Mr. Fasteen's affidavit.
That's where things I felt kind of towards the end kind of fell apart. There was a lot of questions that were starting to come fast and furious, and we didn't ever answer any of those questions. It was more of the judge saying, listen, let's just stop here. Let's just stop, and then we'll regroup, and then we'll go from there. So that's where that was all that was asked for, because that's kind of, it was just kind of shut down. And so then as we get into this down the road, what do we do when we get back to that point?
I think there's a real plausible and workable way of moving forward that I'll discuss and talk specifically about a Supreme Court case that has talked about adjustments to corridors.
Oh, okay. Isn't there, I mean, ultimately the case is in the commission's hands.
Right.
So we can, there may be large parts of it that we say, no problem here, but there may be specific areas where we have outstanding concerns, and then we can deal with those on a case-by-case basis, can't we?
True. And so what I think we should focus on now is we've got this exhibit that's a specific response to your request.
Yeah.
And I don't think it should be treated as an amendment to the application. And so I think you should decide whether or not you feel comfortable moving forward with the information in the record or whether or not to proceed with closing the hearing and working on the order. And
Al had no problem with that. I mean, that seemed plausible to him.
No, I think he wanted to wrap things up and move things along.
Yeah.
So,
but that goes back, that begs my question, though. Okay, there was other areas that I would like to see in a wider corridor. But since those weren't asked for at that time because we shut things down, then how do we deal with those when that comes if we close the case?
Okay, I'll address that. Yeah,
we might as well go to that.
Get right to that, because I can't answer the first question until I get the second part of this.
I agree with you. There is in 49, section 49.2208, subsection 5, North Dakota law provides that upon designation of a site or corridor, the commission shall issue a certificate of site compatibility or a certificate of corridor compatibility with such terms, conditions, or modifications deemed necessary. In 1983, the North Dakota Supreme Court had a case in front of it where there was a proposal to site a 6-mile-wide corridor. And the PSC held general information hearings in, I believe, 7 counties, or a number of counties, had 7 days of expert testimony. So our hearing maybe not isn't so bad, our hearing process. And
that was marvelous.
The Public Service Commission then issued a finding of fact where they made an adjustment to the width of the corridor. And so that adjustment was objected to by landowners who contended that the PSC did not have the authority to make an adjustment to the corridor. The Supreme Court stated that in this instance, though the legislature has expressly given the PSC the authority to issue a certificate of corridor compatibility with such terms, conditions, or modifications deemed necessary, the PSC did not abuse its statutorily granted power when it expanded the Mandan Power Line corridor to the west to provide MPPD with additional routing opportunities. So I think that that pretty plainly states, and I believe in just a brief conversation with Ms. Smith, that she would agree with me that the Public Service Commission has the authority to make modifications it deems necessary for the purposes of a corridor.
So how do you tie that back to my guess that there was no federal nexus on that case, that the other laws and jurisdictions that come into play in this transmission line are doing a whole different realm of jurisdiction, if you will.
Well,
so we would have the right to do that, let's say, but then the practical impact of what that might do to other agencies' approval process. Maybe that's not our concern.
For the purposes of the corridor, I don't think you should consider the federal examinations, but you know, NEPA was put in place, I believe, in 1976, so it would have been part of this process. Now, if I recall, some of the testimony was that they hadn't received their finding of no significant impact yet. Minkota hadn't, but if there was going to be an adjustment, there would be the information would be provided to the relevant federal agency, and that would be accepted or reviewed in addition to what had already been provided, so that when or if there was either a finding of no significant impact or a finding of...
You don't see that a different agency could then file suit against us, I guess, the commission. This was based on landowners, right? This case?
Correct. I find it difficult to see how an agency, you mean a federal agency?
Yep.
I don't see how a federal agency would have standing to
okay, so
to
it's
object.
Back to standing. Okay.
The burden then, if you make adjustments, falls back on Minn Kota to then go back to its federal agency partners
and to the
sponsoring agencies and forces them to make adjustments, and it might cause delays, certainly.
Thank you, sir.
So the long and the short of it is, as I was in the hearing when we were in Washburn, it was my opinion, and I think this case supports it, that Public Service Commission has authority to make adjustments. Now, with that authority comes a responsibility to make them sensibly so that we don't throw the whole process off track and to forces Minn Kota to develop some problems. So, but that's, of course, up to the commissioners.
Yeah, well, that's pretty encouraging, actually, in this process. I mean, because the concept of, like I said, I guess at the hearing, of approving 220 miles of a 250-mile line, and then, with a couple of segments in the middle. That sounds easy, but of course can be very complicated later in terms of finishing the product. But this provides a little more. It allows us to give a little more direction, I guess.
I think a piecemeal approval and rejection of certain parts of a line it creates some problems in application.
Yeah.
So,
because knowing that certain 2 miles wasn't going to be allowed could change 100 miles if you were planning it that way.
True.
Yeah.
Right.
So what we have before the commission is the affidavit. And as I explained in my memorandum, I did not object to the affidavit, so it is part of the record. It has been docketed. And at this point, the commission needs to decide whether or not it wants to hold any additional hearings or go forward with closing the record, maybe at the next formal hearing that you have scheduled, and then we can proceed with the order the corridor.
Say that again. We formally have to close the hearing.
This was part of the discussion with Judge Wall, and I apologize for not explaining it earlier, but there was a discussion last week as to whether or not we could close the hearing just amongst counsel and Judge Wall, and there was a proposal for there to be a stipulation, and it was my opinion that I did not have authority to close the hearing because if the commissioners determined that they might need additional time or to have Mr. Fasteen come and testify about his affidavit or there to be additional testimony, that was your decision and you needed to decide how or whether or not there needed to be any additional evidence in the record. So,
well, it's not our case to make, so I mean, if in my view, accepting this and closing it, if that's what everybody wants to do, is fine. I mean, it's like I said, I have no objection to this.
As far as Minn Kota is concerned, the record is complete and submitted
to
the commission.
It's their case.
Okay. But we have to formally notice a meeting for the purpose of closing it, or?
I think, as far as I understand, our hearing is continued, and I do not believe that there needs to be an additional notice.
Meeting notice
for... Not a hearing notice for the purposes of this corridor, but there will be for the meeting.
So can we put it on a regular meeting agenda as an item that we just close the case and that's it?
I believe so.
Okay.
And in the meantime, I can work with counsel from Minn Kota to start the process.
That's fine. And I'm fine with it. I just wasn't sure procedurally what we needed to do, if we had to have a separate meeting or if we could just do it as an agenda item.
I believe you can do it as an agenda item.
Okay.
Now, we had, as Brian was saying, some other landowners that the concerns aren't addressed here in these exhibits. Do we want something further?
No, I think we cross our bridge when we get there. I mean, Matt outlined that. If we feel like through the course of a work session that we need to do something with it, including expanding the corridor, we do it.
Yeah, we sent strong enough signals during the hearings that the company knows where those areas are and what the level
of. But based on the law, we have the ability to do stuff without anything from them.
Right.
That's what I'm hearing.
Right.
Okay. The record that we have before us is, is Minn Kota's submission, and if the commission determines that modifications might be appropriate, I believe that they have the legal authority to make modifications as necessary. So once the record is complete, the hearing is closed, I think there should. You'll want to consider to have a work session to determine whether or not individual spots need to be additionally modified for the corridor. So.
Okay.
So then we should schedule some work sessions. Probably don't do that today, but for sure next time we meet.
Mm-hmm. Do we have anything more for the? There weren't going to be briefs or anything like that submitted.
We didn't ask for anything, if I remember right.
No additional materials have been requested.
Okay.
So that sums up my
proposed order. Did we ask for a proposed order?
That's where we kind of just closed. It kind of just stopped
because we didn't close it.
Because we didn't close.
Well, I've informally requested that Minn Kota provide a proposed order findings of fact.
And they know it's in their best interest to do that. They'd rather have us work off their order than Jerry's, right?
So we'll. That process will be ongoing.
Okay.
Just to get the fundamentals down, and then
right.
I think alterations can be decided on in the work sessions. So unless you have anything else, I don't have anything else for the commission.
Nope. Good. I think it's good. Good work.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks. Matt, thank you.
You're welcome.
Now that we just said that, could you just maybe an email would be fine. Just. Do you just said say it in an email just to me about what law and stuff you cited and give a little more definition on that so I can look through that at my own leisure?
Sure, I can.
And that's nothing inside the case, just personal.
I'll work with Alana on that.
On the Supreme Court decision, that's interesting. That's still the most famous transmission line history of this agency.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll close the work session on PU09-670. We have another work session scheduled for about 3 minutes from now, and we'll come back.
It's time to fill our coffee cups. That fresh coffee that somebody brewed.
Yep. Sure.